always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Alaska Airlines says it will be returning some of its Boeing 737 MAX 9 jets to the air beginning tomorrow. The FAA releasing final instructions to Alaska and other airlines to begin conducting a 12-hour inspection process, focusing on the bolts that hold the door plugs in place. President Biden receiving an endorsement from the United Auto Workers this week.
He joined us in solidarity on the picket line for the first time in our nation's history. A sitting president has ever done that.
That's UAW President Sean Fain, who called Donald Trump a scab. Nikki Haley is back in her home state of South Carolina, vowing to keep on fighting Trump for the GOP nomination. The former president expected to return to a New York courtroom today to defend himself against a lawsuit seeking more than $10 million for defaming columnist E. Jean Carroll after she accused him of sexual assault. This is ABC News. A switch from the maker of Ring video doorbells, it now says it will stop taking requests from police departments to turn over the video. Instead, the company says if police want the video, they're going to have to get a warrant. A new deal over the opioid crisis.
Washington State's attorney general announcing a nearly $150 million settlement with Johnson & Johnson 4 years after the state sued the drug maker for its role in fueling the opioid addiction crisis. The announcement comes as opioid overdose deaths in the state topped 2,000 in 2022, more than twice as many as there were in 2019.
That's ABC's Mark Remillard. Some Robitussin cough syrup is being recalled amid worries about possible contamination. The recall applies to Robitussin Honey CF Max. And a first when it comes to religion in America. The Pew Research Center now says for the first time, the percentage of Americans saying they have no religious affiliation tops the list. 28% say none on the survey, topping Catholics and Protestants. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Even Republicans know what they don't like, Vivek.
As of this moment, we are going to suspend this presidential campaign.
Oh, this is like the Captain Kirk of goodbye speeches. I must leave the race
there
now.
Is no path to victory.
There is no path for
the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The state of Wisconsin issued more than 60,000 initial professional licenses last year. That's a 38% increase over 2022. The head of the Department of Safety and Professional Services says the average review time for new licenses is down to less than 4 days. An amended version of Governor Evers' maps from the Wisconsin legislature is on its way back to the state Senate. The assembly Wednesday passed changes that would protect some Republican districts. Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer.
We're open to engaging with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle on maps. If those conversations are in good faith and are going to produce a fair map, we need public input on anything in front of the legislature.
The state Supreme Court says it'll draw new maps if lawmakers and the governor don't do it themselves. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks beat the Cavaliers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 126-116 win over the visiting Cavaliers. Giannis with 35 points, 18 rebounds, 10 assists, and was asked for his reaction that the team had fired head coach Adrian Griffin.
For a coach like Griffin, I think from day one, was everything was about togetherness. We're human. It hurts.
Bucks GM John Horst.
Adrian is a great person. Brought a lot to the franchise. We're thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the time that we had with him. But we also believe that we had an opportunity now. The team itself had changed from when we hired him, and we felt like we had an opportunity to improve and to get better.
College basketball, Marquette down DePaul in Chicago, 86-73. The Badgers will host the Michigan State Spartans tomorrow night. Michigan head football coach Jim Harbaugh leaving after winning the national championship. He's returning to the NFL as head coach of the LA Chargers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have some fog and freezing drizzle out there this morning. It's going to be cloudy, foggy, and drizzly throughout the day today. Our high 37, the wind south at 5 to 10. Tonight, more of the same, foggy, some freezing drizzle, 31 the low. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high climbing up to 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Who is happy to tell you that we've made it to Thursday, January 25th, 2024. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app or through our video feeds on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, probably other platforms I don't even know have been invented yet. And if you're listening by podcast as well, thanks for subscribing and taking us along on your day. We'd love to have you join us. If you have any input on questions or comments about what's in the news or observations from your corner of the state, you can reach us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can also use that Civic Media app to text or call us that way. You can email the show, radio@upnorthnewswi.com, and you can leave a comment on one of the Facebook pages, for example, the Civic Media Facebook page or the Up North News Facebook page. Leave us a comment. We may see it there and put that up as well. The app is especially useful because there are different shows on at different times, sometimes across the network. And I was listening just now to Pam Yonke doing the Midwest Farm Report on Civic Media stations in Hayward, Oshkosh, Amory, and Richland Center. So through the app, you could tune into one of those stations and catch Pam's show. And then she has updates throughout the course of the day here all across the Civic Media Radio Network at the bottom of the hour. So be listening at 6:30, 7:30, I think it's 12:30, and a couple of other 30s that are in there someplace. Hey, speaking of 30s, do we have any in the temperatures this morning? Here they are now, 6 a.m. temperatures, 33 up here in Chippewa Falls, 33 in Hayward. Park Falls is at 32, Wausau 34, Green Bay 33, La Crosse 33, Wisconsin Rapids 33, Oshkosh 33, Madison 33. I notice a trend developing here, Greg Bach. Oh, wait, you're in Waukesha. It's only 32.
Because we do what we want. We do what we want.
Everybody is at 32, 33, or 34. There's clearly some consistency out there. Did you have much for fog?
Oh, my
Mr. Bach?
Good gravy, yes. It was, so you know the world-famous Mars Cheese Castle, no?
Yes, I do.
Huge sign, lit up.
Big sign that's in Kenosha, right?
Yeah.
By the state line, right?
Right by the state, okay. It's right by my house, and it is a huge neon-lit sign that you can see for miles.
Mm-hmm.
Last night and this morning coming home, you couldn't see it until you were probably about 100 yards away from it. That's how foggy it is outside.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really is.
Yeah, it's really, really bad out there, folks. Please, please drive safely. And brights don't help.
No, especially in fog. How long a drive is that normally for you on a normal day?
About 45, 50 minutes from home to here.
To get to Waukesha.
Yeah.
So any kind of delay just really stretches that out, yeah. Fog especially.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So drive a little safer, yeah. Folks. Be good. Just be good.
Yeah, be good. Take it easy. There's no rush. We want everybody to get safely wherever you're going. Little theme this morning would be weakness on defense, because first it was the Milwaukee Bucks firing their coach because of defensive shortcomings. Now the Green Bay Packers have fired their defensive coordinator, Joe Barry, because they were having trouble with defense. It's a bit of a stretch here, but I'm going to make it anyway. Now it's Republicans in the legislature getting defensive. See what I did there? About the prospect of new assembly and Senate boundaries, to the point where they are rushing a new map through that would simply replace one gerrymandered set of lines with another. And they're passing it with a straight face. And Democrats and Governor Evers are calling them out on it as the state Supreme Court takes up the issue of actual fair maps for voters to choose their assembly reps. Normally, Joe Zepecki would be in on Thursdays to talk about this. He's out on the road doing something business-wise. Maybe it has something to do with the Bucks. I don't know. We'll talk to his lovely bride, Melissa Baldoff, who normally joins us on Wednesdays, comes back on a Thursday to talk about some of the headlines in state political news this week. In our second hour is our new Women Win Wisconsin segment, where today we will highlight a Marquette County resident who wants to make a difference in making a run for public office. We'll be joined by Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and we will talk about a troubling new trend in proposals to ban abortion care. They're not just abortion bans or restrictions. They have legal language about them that would force women to endure dangerous or unwanted procedures when a pregnancy goes horribly wrong. It's a level of micromanaging what a doctor can do to a woman that is designed to increase her suffering and maybe dissuade her from making certain decisions about her body. And so Dr. Lyerly will talk to us about that coming up. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will join us to talk about this fog and these mild temperatures and to tell us, you know, if we can expect any kind of a change anytime soon. But we'll start actually with those couple of little sports notes. And again, this is not the home for sports talk radio. So if you're like me, I got this passing interest and I just want to be able to talk, you know, have a conversation with somebody, we can tell you. Yeah, again, Joe Barry did finally get fired. People have been seeking his head for some time, and so he's out. And then, you know, for the Bucks, Adrian Griffin was let go as head coach. And again, defense appears to be an issue. Just a pure coincidence that the Packers and the Bucks have these issues on defense. But, you know, Greg, we kind of went through this already with the Brewers, with Craig Counsell leaving for the Cubs, that, you know, players come and go, but sometimes it's members of the coaching staff that get on the merry-go-round. You know, maybe they deserve it, maybe they don't. But in this case, for the Bucks, it's like, wait, you're scoring 140 points a game. Yeah, but you're also giving up 140 points a game. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
you know, they're talking about Doc Rivers is this close, who is, you know, a Marquette legend and a longtime veteran NBA coach. And I'm just left wondering, does Doc Rivers, and I forget his age, he's in his 60s, and I'm about to turn 60, so don't be yelling at me with all these ageist comments when I say, has he got one more run in him? You know, he's been in the TV booth for a little while now. Has he got what it takes to, you know, give this Bucks team the better defense that it needs to allow its offense to keep winning games? And you don't have an answer. Why am I asking you? Because I'm just thinking out loud about whether this is going to be the right move for the Bucks or not.
I might have an answer.
Okay. Do tell.
So I consulted with some of the greatest Bucks analysts in Milwaukee. That is the Milwaukee comedy scene.
okay.
They are diehard. Like, they bring their phones to open mics and watch games as the open mic is happening. And I asked one of them last night because I thought, if the problem is defense, is firing the coach instead of trying to procure a good defensive player or trying to rework the defense, the problem. And they said that Doc Rivers has actually been consulting with the Bucks for about a month or so now, has been doing reports, giving the upper office what he thinks those players need to do to shine. And they are all on board with him being the coach because they feel like he can walk in and kind of sprinkle some magic Doc Rivers dust on it. So that's something to be looking at, and repurposing some of these players to play better defense. Mm-hmm. Or do we just spend more money? Because right now we are currently paying Coach Bud, Adrian Griffin, and we're going to be paying Doc Rivers. And I'm sure we're paying Schlott, the assistant coach. We got a lot of coaches who don't work for us we're paying for. So what's some more money for another defensive player who's really good?
I guess what management is trying to say is we think we have the players for it. They just need to be coached differently. And it's completely anecdotal, but I recall reading something about a game last week where as the Bucks were going back on offense after the other team scored, they realized they were all looking at each other and had no idea where they were supposed to be because the coach hadn't, you know, called out the next set of plays.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, again, not being the biggest basketball fan, with football, you know, sometimes the coach is giving the play in the quarterback's helmet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a player is running in from the sidelines. Basketball, it's just go. So that's got to be some intense coaching, and you can't afford to miss a step and be left with going, wait, what player are we running here? I have no idea.
Well, in all else fails, just put your hands up. Hands up on defense. That's called a fundamental, Pat. That's a fundamental.
That's right. Fifth grade basketball coach Joe Zepecki would tell you that as well. As far as Joe Barry at the Packers go, again, we heard all season long about the defense. They were kind of sort of finding their swerve, you know, by the end of the season there, but it was clearly too little, too late. But again, you feel like you've got the team, you've got the players, and maybe a change there would help. So, you know, we'll see how that pans out as well. Oh, and it's Thursday. That means pitchers and catchers report in 3 weeks. 3 weeks from today. Yay! Yes, I do. Thank you. Speaking of baseball, just folks in the western side of the state who maybe go to Twins games, if you hadn't heard already, Joe Mauer, first ballot Hall of Famer, got into the Baseball Hall of Fame on his first go around. So congrats to him. I'm still, if you're going to admire nothing else about Joe Mauer, it's that a catcher won 3 batting titles, which is, you know, virtually unheard of. And he had seemed to do it right. You catch for as long as you can. And then when the knees are finally done, you know, he was able to make that move to first base and make it work for him. So good on him. Congratulations.
That's some Moneyball stuff right there.
I know, right? You know, it's funny that you say that because, again, I've been getting sucked deeper and deeper into TikTok and different videos come up. And, of course, if you watch a video for, like, more than, you know, 3 seconds, you know, the algorithm's like, oh, you want to see more of this? I've actually been seeing Moneyball clips come up, you know, every so often. And I saw the movie once. I liked it fine enough. But clearly I must be talking about baseball enough because I'm getting those clips show up. Trouble with the Curve with Clint Eastwood and Amy Adams comes up and a couple of other baseball movies. I'm like, I don't really want to see these, but if they come up, I'm going to look at it. So, of course, like any good pellet dispenser for a lab rat, they keep feeding me more baseball clips. So I guess they know I'm ready.
Get on board, baby. Moneyball. Moneyball's my favorite baseball movie.
Is it? I totally understand why. When we come back, we're going to unpack the news with this stunning, in quotation marks, admission by Republicans that even though they keep talking about open borders, they don't actually want to fix the problem because it might affect their chances on election day. So how big an emergency is it? Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I got serious about staying fit just a couple of years ago. Now 5Ks, yoga, and smart nutrition are all part of my weekly routine. Part of my eating right plan? Country Hearth Breads, natural breads with the whole grains and natural ingredients my body needs to perform at its best. Just a slice of toasted multigrain with peanut butter before a workout, and I'm ready to roll. Country Hearth is the easy choice because it's good for me and great tasting, too. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. One in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We'll talk about birthday girl Alicia Keys coming up in today's history lesson in about 30 minutes here on Up North News Radio, which you can be listening to on the Civic Media app. Go to civicmedia.us to learn more. Listen by the app or listen by podcast. Go to Apple, Spotify, all the usual spots. And if you'd rather catch this show not at 6:21 in the morning, that's a great way to do it. The Up North News daily newsletter is out, comes out around 5 a.m. every weekday. Christina Lurie puts it together, and today's edition includes allowing the countdown to get underway for the summer music season. Summerfest in Milwaukee started announcing some of its headliners. Let's see, Keith Urban and Motley Crue among them. There's a place in the newsletter to click for the continually updated list. There is a link to a nice story out of the Fox Valley about how inmates in Oshkosh are making a difference in people's lives by helping to train service dogs. And there's my article there on how Wisconsin is getting a triple dose of attention from the Biden administration this week, with visits by the vice president, the president today, the Treasury Secretary tomorrow, all that and much more in our daily newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com. Yes, the president will be coming to Wisconsin today, returns to Superior, because you've got that big Blatnik Bridge in the background. If you've never been up there, you know, up in the Twin Ports, obviously there is the St. Louis Bay shipping channel. It's very large. You need a huge span to get cars over that. Otherwise, you have a very long drive to get around it. And the Blatnik Bridge, named for a former member of Congress there, is 60-plus years old and ready to be replaced. And that's not something that comes cheap. Senator Tammy Baldwin made it official this week that she had helped secure over $1 billion in funding to get it done. And President Biden is going to talk about it in Superior today. He'll talk about infrastructure and all the other things that are leading him and his administration to come to Wisconsin early and often, as they say, understanding that neither candidate, Biden or Trump, probably on the Republican side, neither one's going to win without winning Wisconsin. We just are the tipping point state these last couple of elections, and there's no reason to think that that won't be the case again here. So get used to the attention. President Biden picked up a big endorsement yesterday from the United Auto Workers. It's obviously not the world's biggest surprise, but there are, you know, occasionally unions that will stay out of a race, either for a membership vote or for whatever reason. But if you recall the auto workers strike from last year, recall that President Biden became the first sitting U.S. president to actually walk a picket line with striking auto workers. And that did not go unforgotten. Union President Sean Fain, had nothing but the most robust words to say about Biden, saying he heard the call, he stood up, and he showed up. As for Trump, Fain mentioned that when the UAW went on strike against GM in 2019, Trump was president at the time, and quote, he said nothing, he did nothing, not a damn thing, because he doesn't care about the American worker. Fain went on to call Trump a scab, and said, this November, we can stand up and elect someone who stands with us and supports our cause, or we can elect someone who will divide us and fight us every step of the way, and that's what this choice is about. So a nice feather in the cap for President Biden for what's going to be a busy and contentious 2024 campaign. Closer to home in the state capitol, it is again apparently Groundhog Day for legislative Republicans who continue to work on just the same things over and over again, whether it's new restrictions on abortion or tax cuts geared toward the wealthy or rigging legislative maps. And it was an interesting show that they put on yesterday, passing a last-ditch set of maps that they said were based on what Governor Evers has submitted earlier, but that they simply moved the lines a bit because the Evers map, pitted too many incumbents against one another. Well, I'm not expecting you to be any kind of an expert on the law as it relates to redrawing legislative boundaries, but protecting incumbents is not part of the deal. So this Republican plan was flawed from the beginning, saying, well, we don't need so many incumbents, being drawn into the same district against each other. That shouldn't matter. It's the voter that matters. You want the best districts possible for the best competitive races over the course of a decade in between, one U.S. census to the next one. Where one particular candidate or incumbent lives is absolutely irrelevant. But more importantly, this whole bit of political theater is just that. This case is already at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They've already said new maps are coming. Republicans have already submitted their proposal for new maps before the monkey business that they were going through, in the assembly yesterday. But Evers has made clear that, moving legislative district lines to protect some Republican gerrymandered incumbents is just more gerrymandering. And Democratic Assembly Leader Greta Neubauer also accused Republicans of simply trying to hold on to their majority. She said, drawing a map to protect incumbents is wrong. It's not what the people of Wisconsin want from their elected officials. So it just seemed very odd that they were working so hard to work on maps now that they say will be more fair. Where were they a couple of years ago after the 2020 census when they had, control, when they drew maps, when conservatives controlled the state Supreme Court? They did not seem so concerned at that point about fairness in the map making. And yet here we are now. They're saying, well, now we really do want it. We really mean it this time. A lot of folks on the Democratic side, accused, Speaker Robin Voss of not exactly negotiating in good faith on this issue and doing this so last minute only tends to reinforce that point. One more political note worth passing along before we talk to Melissa Baldoff to kick off the next half hour is the change of heart by Senate Republicans in Washington on the matter of a border bill that would increase border security, but also is tied to aid to Ukraine, figuring that both issues are important. Maybe you also throw in aid to Israel, aid to Taiwan. But Mitch McConnell told a closed meeting of Senate Republicans yesterday that Donald Trump doesn't want that to happen. He does not want a border bill to pass before Election Day because that might give Biden some kind of a win with voters. Recall that Republicans in the legislature did the same thing with an issue, saying they didn't want to give Tony Evers any kind of a win. At what point do these folks realize that the elections end on Election Day, and then after that you're actually supposed to govern for a while? Well, former Republican Congressman Reed Ribble from Northeast Wisconsin responded to the move saying, well, I guess this isn't really an invasion or a crisis. If it was, they would act. Saying they won't act because Trump wants the issue to campaign on tells the American people everything they need to know. And it's something we've been saying for quite a long time. All right, Melissa's in for Joe, and we'll have that coming up in just a bit. This is Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
With sagging commodity prices projected for 2024, what's that doing to the value of Wisconsin's farmland? I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. That was a part of the conversation this week during the annual Ag Outlook Forum on the UW-Madison campus. Dr. Paul Mitchell is the director of the Rank Agribusiness Institute, and he says land values are something that could definitely fluctuate this year.
Wisconsin saw a big jump in land values last year, 11.8% according to USDA. This is over a three-year trend. We've seen big jumps in land values. Wisconsin's land is up about 40% over those 3 years, so that's a big jump. And what's driving it is crop prices have been good, dairy's been relatively good, and a lot of farmers need land for silage production for the cattle and manure. And so they're just bidding. We had a lot of money coming in from the farm programs, from the various payments during the COVID time, the PPP loans and the CFAP payments. And then the land values are shooting up. So farmers had liquidity with high prices on things, and they had these government payments. So a lot of that was poured into buying up land to make sure they had good supply of forage for the cattle and a place to put their manure.
Dr. Paul Mitchell, he is the director of the Rank Agribusiness Institute, speaking this week at the UW Ag Outlook Forum. He said, as always in Wisconsin, the value of the land definitely dictated by competition for the land and also the quality of the land. Markets and overnight electronic trade on a Thursday morning. Well, a little bit mixed so far. Numbers are next.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
The end of harvest, snow-covered fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BioVet1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Join the fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke along with the Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2024 Corn Soy Expo. It's happening on February 1st and 2nd at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Pam will be broadcasting on Thursday at 11:30 a.m. with Compeer Financial, located in booth 409. She'll broadcast at 2 p.m. with the Wisconsin Soybean Board at booth 402. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Barrel cheese on Wednesday dropped a quarter of a cent to 145¾. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged. AA butter gained 3¼ cents to 257¾ per pound. This morning, March corn's unchanged. December new crop down a penny at 481. March beans are up 2½. November new crop unchanged at 1208. July new crop wheat's up 3 at 629. And February Class 3 milk in Chicago's down a penny right now at 1557 a hundredweights. I'm PM Yankee.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have some fog and freezing drizzle out there this morning. It's going to be cloudy, foggy, and drizzly throughout the day today. Our high 37, the wind south at 5 to 10. Tonight, more of the same, foggy, some freezing drizzle, 31 the low. Tomorrow will be cloudy with a high climbing up to 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back on this Thursday morning when we normally visit with Joe Zepecki, but Joe's doing a little business traveling, I think, or something like that.
Although, that's right.
Given recent news, maybe it's not a business travel. Melissa Baldoff joins us, who knows Joe as well as anybody else. This Milwaukee Bucks coaching thing coming up about the same time. Joe's a big time fan. There's not going to be some like big announcement of a career change for him, is it?
No, his basketball coaching is really limited to the fifth grade boys in Shorewood right now. And they recently had their first win, which was wonderful. And I don't unfortunately think that experience translates to what the Bucks need to have a real run at another championship. But, you know, I think that we're kind of both of the mindset that, you know, something had to change with the Bucks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think can be it, but something had to change.
Isn't it funny how people who don't watch the Bucks closely, they just see the record of 30-13 and they're like, what's the problem? What's the issue? And yet the people I know who do pay a lot of attention were like, oh, it's 30-13, but this thing could go south real quick. And, you know, Joe always struck me as kind of being in that school. So, again, it's probably nothing personal, but I'm betting he and you and others who really pay attention kind of like the idea of making a switch here.
I think that's right. I think that the defense needs to shore up. But, you know, we've got Giannis, we've got Dame, we've got Middleton, right? We have all these weapons. And I think that this team has what it takes to deliver another championship for Milwaukee and for the state. You know, just maybe needs a few tweaks.
Yeah, well, here's hoping. So get Joe's take on all that after hopefully a new coach has gotten a couple of games under their belt. Now, another thing that we'd normally talk to Joe about, this is an issue important to you as well, is, you know, Joe's work with Protect Our Care, and they just announced on Wednesday that nationwide a record 21 million people have affordable health care coverage through the Affordable Care Act marketplace. And again, Melissa, putting on your political hat for a second, when you hear Republicans still talking about repealing the Affordable Care Act, I don't know how they look at this story about 21 million Americans getting covered and square that circle.
Well, they can't. You know, they have been trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, you know, ever since it was passed. And they've never been able to get it done, thankfully, but they've also never been able to come up with an alternative plan to ensure that the people who have been covered under the Affordable Care Act and the ones who haven't been able to get coverage yet, Republicans have never had an idea or a plan on how to get those folks covered and ensure they have healthcare coverage. And, you know, if we've learned anything over the past few years, and I don't know if we have, but hopefully if we've learned anything since the start of this pandemic, it's that, you know, it is so important for people to have healthcare coverage. That can be, you know, the difference in so many outcomes, good and bad and catastrophic even. So, you know, it's great news that we're seeing record enrollment under the marketplace. And it's great news that there are some states like our friends down in North Carolina where Republicans were able to get on board with expanding Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act to cover more people and save money. It would be great if one day Republicans in Wisconsin could get on board with doing the same here.
It sure would, because again, only a handful of states left that are still playing games this way. But, you know, Republicans didn't hear much of that from Governor Tony Evers in this week's State of the State address, but they got an earful on plenty of other things where he feels the Republicans are not taking seriously the issue of workforce development. He talked about helping with the child care crisis, with paid family leave, with supporting education. In all of those areas, though, Melissa, it seems like we're going to have a Groundhog's Day kind of session where we're not going to see Republican movement toward any of these workforce development issues, but we'll just rehash, you know, the tax cut bill, which is up for a third time now, abortion bans, things like this. Or do you see or know something at the Capitol that gives us any reason to think that there can be something bipartisan done yet in the area of workforce development?
I think this is, again, one of those areas where Republicans want to talk a big game and they're not serious about actually doing the work to get things done. The child care issue is a fantastic example of that. They heard from people all over the state, from providers, from employers, business owners, working parents, you know, everybody across the spectrum, politically, ideologically, what a significant this issue is for workforce development. You know, parents can't work if they don't have reliable, affordable childcare. The childcare economy and workforce itself is a significant part of the economy. We have a lot of people working in childcare who need to and deserve to be paid a good wage to be taking care of kids. And Republicans had every opportunity to use some of the massive surplus that we have to put towards this issue to help keep these small businesses afloat that are operating childcare facilities, and to you know, help families to be able to afford the payment to keep their kids in quality, affordable childcare. And they didn't want to come to the table. They didn't want to do anything, and they didn't have another plan. You know, their plan for workforce development is to, you know, let 14 and 15 year old kids work more, including like serving drinks, and, you know, to, you know, let childcare providers have bigger classrooms, right? Like, these are not serious proposals that will actually solve the challenges that we're facing.
And the governor called it out as such. He said, you know, these are not serious workforce proposals, and that he's game to talk about any serious workforce proposals. I just don't know that we'll see that before this legislature goes home to campaign for re-election, probably under new maps. I mean, the governor, that was, he doesn't get giddy, shall we say, but he sure looked happy just talking about the prospect of new maps and a more competitive set of races later this fall.
Absolutely. You know, that is something to be excited about, because that's what the people deserve. You know, he has said frequently, I think people have heard the governor say multiple times, the will of the people is the law of the land. It's on the ceiling of the conference room in the governor's office. And it's a really important reminder of how things are supposed to be and how things haven't been in recent years, that the people of this state are not being represented, and what they want to see is not what's happening in the legislature. You know, these incredibly popular policies aren't going anywhere despite having so much support. So it's something to definitely be really happy about.
He did share a lot of specifics on a lot of different fronts of things that he would like to do. There was one area where he did not share specifics, but hinted that there was something to come. So I'll ask you straight up, Melissa, what is this mysterious new effort to increase voter turnout that the governor hinted at his speech?
I don't know. I'm going to be very excited to see what this is also. I think that it's something that the governor has always talked about, that we need to have more people showing up to participate in our elections. And granted, you know, Wisconsin is a state that generally does have pretty robust participation in our elections, which is great. But we want to make sure that everybody has the ability to participate. And, you know, we've seen the governor in past budget include things like automatic voter registration. So, you know, there could be any number of efforts that could be happening to increase turnout. So I think everyone will be real excited to see what's happening.
So that comes as we embark on the 2024 campaign season. And as we know, this has been a very busy week in terms of attention being paid to Wisconsin by the Biden administration, starting from the very top. You have the president coming to Superior today. You had the vice president coming to Waukesha County a couple of days back. You've got Secretary Janet Yellen of the U.S. Treasury Department coming to Milwaukee on Friday. Is there significance in all of these visits, or is it more coincidence that we're getting these three different visits?
Well, I'm going to let you in on a little secret and all the listeners out there on a little secret. Wisconsin is a really important political state. So,
worst kept secret out there. Yes.
So yes, I think that we are, I think that it's very intentional to have a presence here. And I think we're going to continue to see a presence from the Biden administration and the Biden campaign in Wisconsin in the months to come. This is going to be an incredibly important state, not just in determining the outcome of the presidential election, but in determining control of the Senate and control of the House. You know, we're going to have a very competitive congressional race and the 3rd congressional district to get radical Derek Van Orden out of there. I think that if Republicans ever can find someone who's brave enough to challenge Tammy Baldwin, besides the, Orange County guy, that will be a race. You know, they'll end up finding somebody. They're going to find somebody to run. They've got their donors who are going to spend millions and millions of dollars trying to defeat Tammy Baldwin, and they will fail. But there will be a lot of attention on Wisconsin in the coming months.
It makes me wonder from the other side of the coin. We're now in that 1 month gap after Iowa and New Hampshire, but before South Carolina, and I do wonder if Donald Trump will take his campaigns and courthouses tour, to Wisconsin anytime soon, if it can fit into his schedule of going from one criminal trial to another. Because, again, how long can you let Wisconsin get all the attention from one side of the aisle, which has got to be tough when you don't have a U.S. Senate candidate. But at some point, Trump's got to, you'd think he'd have to come back and make a Wisconsin appearance. He can't just wait for the Milwaukee convention, right?
I would assume he'll be here before then. I don't think his I don't think his ego can stay away. I think he's going to want to go anywhere he can find an adoring crowd. And I think that the adoration for Donald Trump in Wisconsin has certainly waned, but I do think he'll still find, some folks who are happy to see him and hear from him. So I would have to imagine that they're going to try to rally the troops and try to have something for Republican voters in Wisconsin to be excited about. And, maybe that's Donald Trump. Maybe it's not.
Either way, however it goes down, Wisconsin is going to be getting, this is only the beginning of the attention that our state's going to get throughout 2024. Melissa, thank you so much for pinch hitting for Joe. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday for our weekly climate check. And Joe, again, barring some last minute surprise where he shows up in a Bucks coaching outfit, we'll talk to him then again. But if you hear anything more on any potential job changes from him, just put us up high on your call list.
Yeah, we'll definitely... If he is taking his talents to the Milwaukee Bucks, we will definitely break that news with you.
All right. Thanks, Melissa. See you later.
Sounds good.
I guess in all the news about it, though, I could tell you the Bucks actually did play basketball last night for Joe Prunty, their interim coach, and Giannis Antetokounmpo recorded his 3rd triple-double in his last 4 games as the Bucks beat Cleveland 126-116. Giannis scored 35 points. He matched a season high with 18 rebounds, 10 assists for his 7th triple-double of the season, and they will host the Cavaliers again tomorrow night at 5-serve Forum, and you can catch Bucks basketball on Oshkosh Air Support, on News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger men's basketball team is back in action tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at the Kohl Center against Michigan State. You can catch the 13th-ranked Badger men's basketball game on locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, Lake Air in Amory, and WRJN in Kenosha. And by the way, the 14th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team, they were winners, beating DePaul last night 86-73. Today's history lesson and musical memories are up next. You're up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10. On the Buzz of the North, 910 AM, WBZH.
The Todd Almaz Show.
Luke Mathers, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd. Where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance. I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I think it's one of my favorite Prince songs. I'd have to look at the list again, but Take Me With You is definitely got to be one or two up on the list. Released this day in 1985. It was the final single to be released from the Purple Rain album. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins now at 6:51 on this Thursday morning. Dr. Lyerly, how are you?
I'm good. The list of favorite Prince songs is very long.
Well, see, that's just it. If a favorite is like one of those absolute words, you know? It's like you have to have a favorite, but that's very tough. You know, it'd be like asking
you
to have a favorite son.
Yeah.
But by the way, do you have a favorite son?
I do. I tell all of them in front of each other that they are my favorite.
Of course. Tell you what, one of our two daughters, you know, you can name in Snapchat, you can name all your various little discussion groups and things. And she changed the group name to Favorite Child just because she knew that her sister couldn't see that one as they have that competition to be the favorite child. But I like your strategy. Tell them each, you know.
You are just so up to date on the social medias. You're talking about being on TikTok, on the Snapchat. Next thing you know, you'll be like, I'm on Threads.
I'm on Threads.
You're on Threads.
What?
Yes. Yeah, I know, right?
And Blue Sky. Okay.
I tried. I'm on Blue Sky, but I kind of let it go after a while. There's a lot. There's a lot of platforms out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Blue Sky, you
have to have an invite on Blue Sky, which is weird. I don't know.
Well, I feel like everybody now has invite codes. And so, I mean, I have a bunch of them. If somebody would want one, I would definitely share. But okay. Mr. Bach has his hand raised. So there you go. All right. Today's music history, again, it's normally, you know, your good old-fashioned rock and roll, classic rock, early rock, things like that. We're going way, way back for music history for a song that premiered this day in 1858. It's
like
hard,
the,
of course.
I like the remix better.
The remix. It's hard to ask somebody to take a song like The Wedding March and try to hear it as if you're hearing it for the very first time. Don't just attach it to a wedding march. And just, what do you actually think of the song? And when you hear it, it's like, you could see why people in 1858 were like, hey, this is kind of new. This is kind of catchy. I mean, it's, again, they didn't have rock and roll then, but it was unique. Felix Mendelssohn played it at the marriage of Queen Victoria's daughter. As a daughter, Victoria married Friedrich of Prussia, and it since became a popular wedding processional.
I went to a wedding where the priest wouldn't allow this song to be played.
The
Why?
Priest wouldn't allow it to be played?
He said it was pagan. There it is. I'm not kidding
just
either.
Just going to move on.
He said if you try to play
Oh, no, I believe.
Yeah.
Just going to move on. Let's see. It was we already played one from birthday girl Alicia Keys. She turns 43 today. I can say definitively, this is my favorite Alicia Keys song. I might maybe only know four of them, but this is the one that's up there. So happy birthday to Alicia Keys. This is the anniversary of the birth of Etta James, born in this day in 1938, passed away in 2012, lived long enough to see her hit At Last be played at all the inaugural balls for Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle. That was quite a night, those inaugural balls and hearing Etta James singing during those. Mm-hmm. Trying to remember going back to 2008 now. Boy, that seems so long ago. But, you know, the election night when Barack Obama won the presidency, and then those inaugural balls, that inauguration day. I mean, I still have the front page of the New York Times from that day hanging, along with some other historic front pages hanging in my basement there. And I remember a friend of mine was so determined to get to the inauguration, and he worked so hard to get a ticket, and they were on the metro, the commuter rail there, and the train got stuck or something.
Yep.
And so he was down in the train tunnels during the actual inauguration itself. Greg, you were part of it?
I was there. And
you were there?
I was in the tunnel.
Wow.
I was called what was called the Tunnel of Doom. We sat there.
The Tunnel of Doom.
Just sucking in all of the exhaust that had caked into the walls from all the cars over the decades. And it's a story. I won't tell it now. It's a long story. But we're walking out of the tunnel, and the lights hitting our eyes, 11 a.m., going to make our way finally. We're going to the inauguration. We just hear a bunch of people going, "They're not letting anyone else in." So I walked around the city, and I was a mixture of sad and angry.
Yes, yeah.
But it got better. Someday I'll tell that story, but it got better, trust me. But yeah, it was an amazing day, though.
I'm glad. You should have just waited 8 years for Trump's inauguration. There was plenty of room there.
All right, cutting your mic.
The number one song this day in 1975 was by the Carpenters. Stop,
whoa, yes, wait a minute. Oh, my God. The postman.
This was their rendition of the song that was the number one hit for the Marvelettes in 1961. Also the first hit, number one hit for Motown. This is Nike's birthday. A company called Blue Ribbon Sports, which would later become Nike, was founded on this day for University of Oregon track and field athletes. Alexander Graham Bell inaugurated transcontinental telephone service, speaking on this day in 1915 from New York to Mr. Watson in San Francisco.
I need you.
He's a little too far away now for that one. And on this day in 2003, Norah Jones hit number one on the album chart with Come Away With Me.
Come away with me.
Greg is melting.
She's just...
Everybody is falling asleep right now. We all just woke up, and now we're all going back
now
to sleep.
Now we just want to drift off.
I love her so much.
The first Emmy Awards took place this day in 1949, but it turned out, I did not realize this at first, the first Emmy Awards were just for Los Angeles TV stations. It was later that they became more of a nationwide thing for all national shows, but it was a kind of a local TV industry thing for the Emmys that started this day in 1949. Kristen, we have a rather serious topic coming up after the news here, the degree to which politicians are willing to micromanage actual medical procedures that are to be done on women with troubled pregnancies. This is something you alerted me to that I would like people to stick around for, but it's going to be a little uncomfortable, I think.
Yeah, this is hard to talk about, but I think it's really important that people understand just the degree to which politicians are dictating our personal health care decisions and how really horrific it is.
And then we will have an interview with another candidate in our Women Win Wisconsin segment. That's all coming up in just a bit on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News